When you niggas stop playing, I stop playing to feel like Cali niggas in Vegas. I want more. I've exceeded my limit, limited living. I didn't want much. Couple of trips, she need a clutch capture. My extravagant mind thinking in new ways to be better than most. And I rarely seen like a Blue Jay. Hall of Fame shit, I've been there. In my city, I'm a wizard. Cali King, dance with the devil down in the blizzard. I'm out here running with scissors, but fuck it. Greatness come with a price, and I have become it. Feeling some type of way, and so they stare, go to share. See all of this new age hypers like the COVID city stairs. Watch me. Kinda cocky, I deserve to be. Naked in a booth, so let's be clear, this shit is surgery. Sweat rag in my pocket, cause I'm known for going in. I can do this in my sleep, so if it beat you on me, 10.
Yeah. Man, what's going on, family? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I'm your gracious host. I am Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed, also known as King Flex.
That's what the competition everywhere I tiptoe.
Glad to have everybody tuning in, family.
Bro, deal with it. Off my deal pickle.
And we're going to chop up some good game on today's show. We're going to get a lot of calls on today's show. Usually I get some calls, but I'm going to get a lot of calls and chop up game with the family on today's show. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to take calls. So the phone number is 818-850-5404. And we'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
The book, Marginalizing White Supremacy, is available now. You know, it appears that since the first election of Barack Obama, the old days and the old ways of white supremacy has reemerged and is wreaking havoc to black lives every day and in every way. So it's very important that we understand the ins and outs of white supremacy. So pick up the brand new book, Marginalizing White Supremacy, a philosophical call to action post the Obama presidency. And you can get this book at Amazon.com, you can get it at Kindle, and you can get it at Lulu.com. You can also get it at BarnesandNoble.com. Again, that book is Marginalizing White Supremacy.
Are you a startup business, a musician, a small business, an artist, or just an individual who has no idea on how to market your work and get it out there, but you would like to? Check out ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com. At ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com, they give you a video training course on how to get your product out there. You can work at home. You can be your own boss. You can gain control of your life. If you don't know how to get your product out there and market it online, Three-Headed Dragon Marketing is for you. Go to ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com. Hey, this is Tariq Nasheed, New York Times bestselling author and producer of the critically acclaimed bestselling documentary series Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. I want you to join me in London on Sunday, March 15th, for a live lecture at Friend's House in Houston. I'm going to be discussing the international rules of racism, so trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get tickets right now at back2blackempire.com. That's back, the number 2, blackempire.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Welcome back, family, to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. And I'm ready to chop up some good game with the family. If you have not contributed to the Kickstarter page, go to Kickstarter.com. Check out Hidden Colors 4, family. We're at $85,000 on the Kickstarter campaign for Hidden Colors 4. So let me thank everybody who has gotten involved with the project, man. Much love and respect to you. The project is going smooth. Our goal is 100,000, so we're just 15,000 shy of that. We can get that tonight, family. So if you're listening, family, go to Kickstarter.com. Everybody listening, I got thousands of listeners. If everybody put in $2, we can get that up to 100K by tonight, and we got the wherewithal to do that. So let's go to Kickstarter.com. Type in Hidden Colors 4, and let's get that popping, family, because Hidden Colors 4 is going to be a doozy. We're going to start traveling and doing the interviews for that. We're doing it now. I did an interview with Brother Jim Brown, who's one of the most thorough brothers in the world. Did an interview with him last week, chopping up some real good game. So again, you can also go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to contribute if you like. But let's see who we got on the phone. We got the phone lines lighting up. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? All right, family. Y'all stop playing on the phone. But again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. Let's get this number right here. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, what's that?
What's up? Who's this?
It's D from Louisiana.
D from Louisiana. How you doing, D? What's on your mind?
I was just wondering, what do we have to do to build like a community with conscious people?
Build a community with conscious people?
Yes.
Well, the thing is, when you use the word conscious, what do you mean by conscious? Because now, the so-called conscious community are full of phonies and frauds. So you got to be very careful of that, because you got a lot of dudes out here talking about their conscious. And when you think of conscious, you think of a dude, you know, walking around with a kente cloth and using that Hotep shit. But these are some of the most fraudulent niggas you ever want to meet. So what you?
I already know some of them are already fraudulent, because you know I've worked around some of them. I know some of them are fraudulent.
Yes, indeed. So what you want, man? You want people who are going to abide by a code. You don't have to be on that Hotep, triple darkness, Egyptian must herbal tea shit. Just get a code of conduct, man. No matter what you do, and live by that code of conduct, and you'll thrive and you'll prosper. That's why I catered the Hidden Colors film to the non-conscious crowd, because the conscious crowd, number one, these motherfuckers ain't trying to break bread. They're trying to con each other out of doing shit. Number two, these are some of the most bootleggingest niggas ever. They bootleg my shit all the time. So I don't really cater to that so-called conscious community. The people that I deal with are more or less scholars, like the Umar Johnsons, the Francis Cress Wilsons, the Phil Valentine.
Right.
They're above the conscious community. These are real tried and true scholars. And we have to know the difference. A conscious nigga is just a motherfucker running around here trying to debate, talking shit, ain't really doing nothing, not really building nothing. So we got to get away from that and stop being fooled by that. Real heavy stuff, man. But again, look for brothers and sisters who just want to abide by a code. It doesn't matter what they do in life. Just if you want to abide by a code of empowerment, let's roll with that. And you can find that if you start hanging around the right people and get away from some of those fake Hotep niggas. You feel me?
Right, I got you.
All right, man. Much respect. Thanks for the call, fam. Yeah, we're going to have to chill out with the fake Hotep niggas and the fake herbal tea chicks. Real shit. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq, it's Dave from Chicago.
Dave from Chicago, how you doing, fam?
I'm doing good. Hey, I was just calling in. I was wondering, you ever thought about, like, I don't know if you have already, but have you contributed to Dr. Umar's campaign for his school?
Absolutely. I did it real early. I did it early on. And when I get some more information about what's happening, I'm going to contribute more. So, yeah, I've already done that. I did that off rip.
Oh, okay. That's what's good, man, because I know they're trying to shut them down. You know, they had an incident in Baltimore where they canceled his event there.
Why'd they cancel it?
Well, they were saying something about he made comments about homosexuals, and that's against their policy or whatever, but I think it was bullshit.
Was it a school or something? What was this?
This was his... Yeah, I believe it was a school, a college campus or something. I can't remember the name of the college.
Okay, that sounds like something that they do at those college campuses. They put those pretend black feminists out there as the gatekeepers, and I'm pretty sure they sabotaged it. They're not real black feminists. They're they're pretend black feminists. They do that all the time. Years ago, at one of my lectures, what city it was? I forgot the city. And I did a show about it back in 2006. Some of those black pretend black feminist groups made a fuss, and the school had to pay me my full fee, by the way. So I was cool. I didn't have to go out there. I just walked in my mailbox and got a check for $6,000. But they do little slick shit like that, and they're the gatekeepers of some of those universities when it comes to black men coming in there and empowering the community. So and that incident made me, at that point, I said I'll never have anybody try to sabotage my events again. That's why I'm hell bent on doing my own events. That's why I like to pick and choose what cities I go to, because I can go and book a venue and promote my own lectures anytime I feel like it, instead of waiting on anybody to call. So that's why it's important for us to control what we have going on. You feel me?
Yeah, that's what's up, because I know it's a lot of you know, FBI and everybody watching. And, you know, that's unfortunate. You know, us black people, we got to stick together and make sure we keep it talking.
Yes, indeed. And not just stick together with a code. It's very important that we stick together with a code of conduct. We need a code because, like Neely Fuller said, a lot of us get this whole let's just get together. And if we get together without a code, we end up fighting and bickering and debating and arguing and nothing gets solved. So instead of just getting together, let's have a code among each other and just rally around that code. So I'm real big on having a code. You feel me?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Much respect. Thanks for the call, fam. I'm all about codes, family. I'm all about a code of conduct. Let's see who else we got on the phone.
Oh, good.
What's up? Who's calling?
Stephanie.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
How you doing, Steph?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Where are you calling from, Steph?
I'm calling from Dallas.
Oh, man, I got to get out there to Dallas. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Dallas in a couple of weeks. I think next week, doing some filming for Hidden Colors down there.
Oh, cool.
Yes, indeed. So what's going on with you, young lady?
Okay, well, I wanted to talk about... Okay, well, I'm in college now,
okay.
Right? And I'm a senior, and I'm studying biology and sociology.
Okay.
And what I've been noticing a lot with my professors is the favoritism. And, of course, I know, being a black woman, you know, in the science field, there's not a lot of us. So favoritism is always going on. But what I've noticed in particularly is that whenever I go to my office hours, they just kind of want to shrug me off. And kind of like if I want to ask questions and like show that I'm paying attention in class, just wanting to build a relationship with them, they just kind of shrug me off and like, oh, well, you should just ask more questions in class, you know? So I'm just kind of wondering, how can I build a relationship without doing too much?
Right. So the teachers, you feel that the teachers are not giving you adequate attention?
Yeah.
Now, are you the only black person there, or are you
no,
black people?
No, but no. In my classroom, there's roughly, out of a lecture hall of, like, I want to say 200 people, maybe a good 20 of us are black, and then maybe 10 are of African descent, like international students.
Do you have any black professors or teachers there?
Nope.
Damn, because I was going to say try to get one of them as a mentor. But if you can, just keep campaigning and just, you know, try to find one of those teachers who's liberal enough to just kind of sit back and chop up game with you after class. You understand? Just kind of catch them and just have a heart-to-heart with them and say, hey, excuse me, professors, such and such. I just want to get clarity on certain things, and I just would like to ask a couple of quick questions. Have a heart-to-heart with them. Don't go in there with the, oh, please, y'all just doing me so wrong. Just people respect when you have a heart-to-heart with them and just come at them straight up and down on some really real talk. Just say, look, professor, I'm having trouble kind of understanding a few things, and I just wanted to ask you some things so that I can be more thorough in your classroom. And a real teacher, I don't give a shit how, you know, biased they are. They can respect that. So if you step to them on that, they'll appreciate that.
And I wanted to know if I could ask you one more question. Is that indeed. Okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I went to this panel at school recently about, I want to say last week, and the panel was discussing Black Lives and just, you know, going over everything that's been going on in Ferguson.
Okay, well, do you mean Black Lives Matter?
Yes, but how my school tried to campaign it as was All Lives Matter.
Exactly.
So,
were they talking about, like, lesbian issues and...
very briefly, but not to whereby, like, we weren't talking about that for a long time, but I'll just give you the rundown of what actually happened. So my school, they first had a little town hall meeting called All Lives Matter, and it was in response to the peaceful protests that we had on campus, and we had a die-in. So pretty much everyone went into the main campus area and just laid on the floor and acted as dead bodies. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so that was, then a few days later, we get all these campus-wide emails saying, oh, in response to the protest that occurred in the main foyer, we're going to have a discussion. So, you know, I was live. I wanted to go to this event, you know, and give them my opinion. Then, miraculously, the event is canceled without any type of notification. So you have people gone to the venue, and there's no event, right?
Wow.
That was strike one.
Okay.
Then they plan another event, and they don't call it All Lives Matter, but they call it, I believe, Black Lives Matter. Okay. No, not matter, just Black Lives and your opinions on it, right?
Okay.
So I go to that one, and it's in our auditorium. And our auditorium can hold about 1,500 people. Only about 30 people showed up.
Wow.
And yeah, it was ridiculous. And honestly, I felt that this was staged because the first event that they were going to put on, I knew a lot of people were going to come. But the, you know, the type of publicity for the second one, you know, trying to puppet, that didn't happen. I only found out because one of my friends was working.
Okay.
You know?
So why do you think a lot of people didn't come to the why do you think a lot
event,
of people didn't come to the
there's
event?
There's a panel. Hello?
Yeah, why do you think a lot of people didn't come to the event?
Because, the school, they sent out a mass email to the first event, but the second event did not get a mass email like how the first one did.
Right.
So I just think the school was just trying to strategically, you know, let's just remove this. Maybe nobody's going to notice, you know, because I just think it was ridiculous. Only 30 people showed up.
Right. Well, the thing is, man, Black folks, we let people hijack all of our stuff. When we get a movement going, mm-hmm. it's hijacked. And with that Black Lives Matter, that was designed to be hijacked from the get-go, by the way. And that's what today's uh-huh. show is about. I'm talking about how Black people allow things to get hijacked. And that's why it's important for the Black groups at the school to kind of join forces and congregate with each other and do events with each other and coordinate things with each other so that you don't have to depend on certain administrative people at the school to do it, because they'll always try to sabotage shit and then hijack it and mix their whole curriculum in with it. So it's very important for us to organize and get a code among ourselves so that our stuff won't keep getting canceled. Another brother called earlier talking about Umar's event got canceled. And we got to start depending mm-hmm. on each other and get a code of conduct and stop letting people hijack stuff that we have going. But thank you for the call, sister.
No problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to talk about today, family. We're talking about how stuff gets hijacked from us. We allow stuff to get hijacked on a regular basis. I was looking at the news earlier, and I think it was it today or yesterday. There was the story with Robin Thicke. He won this lawsuit against Marvin Gaye's family. Marvin Gaye's family is going to sue Robin Thicke for using an interpretation of the song "You Got to Give It Up." I got to give it up, live it up by Marvin Gaye. The blurred lines is basically a ripoff of that song, but somehow Robin Thicke was able to get away with it in court. Now, if a Black person, you say some shit from another artist that remotely sounds the same, they'll sue you for all your publishing. But Robin Thicke got away with that. And the song is clearly similar to the Marvin Gaye song. It's clearly. But again, this is how the dominant society works. They set things up so they can hijack things that we have and things that we create. It's set up like that, and we got to start circling our wagons with a code to stop allowing that to happen. And just like with the whole Black Lives Matter, again, I've talked about that before on Ustream, that whole Black Lives Matter thing, that was designed to be hijacked. That was designed because the white supremacists, they're the ones who funded all of that Black Lives Matter. They funded that whole movement. That's why whenever they have these Black Lives Matter conferences at colleges, and I've had several people tell me They've been to these Black Lives Matter lectures, and they talk about everything except Black Lives. They go in and they talk about lesbian, gay, Palestine, abortions. They talk about everything. So you got to understand how the white supremacists work. The white supremacists, they play checkers. I mean, they play chess. They don't play checkers. The white supremacists, they think 20 steps ahead. So when the white supremacists were funding some of these so-called Ferguson protest groups, but these Ferguson protest groups weren't getting any clout or panache on the grassroots level, because the grassroots people didn't give a fuck about some of these people that y'all saw out there in Ferguson protesting on CNN. The grassroots people, because I was out there in the streets, and these people were, their mindset was totally different than those people just popping up trying to get every type of opportunity they can get to get on television. But with the white supremacists funding these groups, you have to ask why. Why were they funding these groups? Because the white supremacists understood that these movements, when you see police brutality and black folks getting shitted on and black people making noise on the streets, they learn how to co-opt that very quickly and set it up to be co-opted. So what they do, they fund and put a lot of money behind one of their groups, and they promote this hashtag all through their media. They do magazine articles on these hashtags that they control and they fund. Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Then they switch it to All Lives Matter because the white supremacists are funding that too. And then what happens is the Black Lives Matter people go around bragging about, well, we're lesbian and we're gay and we're fighting for lesbian and gay issues too. We're fighting for all lives. We're fighting for everybody. They talk about everything except Black Lives. And then what happens is what we saw on the Oscars the other night. The Oscars happened, and Patricia Arquette, the actress, she did a speech and she did a press conference where she talked about, and let me paraphrase, she talked about how more people should get behind women's rights and how gay people and people of color, meaning black people, should support women's rights more because women have supported people of color so much. And there was a big outcry behind that, and there should have been a big outcry because it was totally full of shit. That was them co-opting our shit, co-opting our struggle, co-opting our movements, and then using it for theirs. That whole white privilege thing, that you Negroes owe us because of all we've done for you. And people kept asking Patricia Arquette, well, who are these women you're talking about who did all this for people of color, meaning black people? Who are you talking about? Because the impression she gave was that there are all these white women out here helping these disenfranchised black folks, and we owe you. That was the narrative. And who are you talking about, Patricia Arquette, and any other person who sits up here and says that all of these so-called women, meaning people in the dominant white society, have done all these things for black people? Now, I heard some people on Twitter halfway trolling, halfway trying to make a point, saying, well, these women in Hollywood, they go to Haiti and help Haiti. They go to Africa and help Africa. That is the biggest crock of bullshit ever. These people go over to Haiti, Africa, and don't help shit. Going over there, dropping a grain of rice somewhere in Africa, and then coming back with billions of dollars in diamond, gold, silver, platinum, cobalt, manganese, that ain't no damn help. That's you fronting like you're helping, but you're going in there to help yourself. Please stop letting people run that honorable missionary game. I've been all over the world. I've seen how people go in playing that whole liberal missionary role, like they're going in there to help, and they end up dominating and subjugating all the people. In Hidden Colors 4, we're going to get real deep into that, by the way. We're going to get real deep in that, by the way. But when people start trying to run that, oh, we've white women, we've done so much. See, that's the white supremacist talking. And again, there are people out there, I'm not shitting on everybody, because there are people, individuals who are compassionate and they try to make a difference. But let's just talk turkey. One trick of the white supremacists is to act compassionate. There are a lot of people out here who happen to be white supremacists who go in and act like the liberal feminists and they have the same white supremacist views as all the rest of the white supremacists. There's a great book that I always talk about called White Women's Rights, The Racial Origin of Feminism, that talks about how the female white supremacists would basically go to like Africa and all of these places acting liberal, but basically they were competing with the white male for power. They were going into these countries saying, hey, look, white male, you have to go in there and with guns and sticks and beat the people down. I can go in there and smile and grin and bat my eyes and get the same results, and they can bow down to me like that. So the liberal white supremacist feminists, they were still going in there campaigning for power, wealth, and resources, and to subjugate the people. They just did it in a different angle and acted like they were helping the people, and they still run that game on us today. Throwing black folks a couple of crumbs here and there while taking certain resources away, that's a con game, and we got to stop falling for that con game. And we got to be on our empowerment tip and stop getting all teary-eyed when a suspected white supremacist is up in our face skinning and grinning, acting real liberal like they're trying to help us, because a lot of times they're not. They're trying to exploit. And that's a tough pill to swallow. That's why we got to get a code of conduct and start doing for ourselves. And again, I'm not shitting on all people in the dominant society. I'm just talking about the people who believe and practice white supremacy. Let's see who we got on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling. I'm going to chop up some more game with the family. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, King Flex. This is Jimmy out of D.C.
Jimmy out of D.C.?
Yes, sir.
What's going on with you, Jimmy?
Everything, man. I just wanted to say, big ups on everything that you're doing, man. You've inspired myself, as a young executive and the entrepreneurial ventures that I'm doing and everything, man. And big shout out to Hidden Colors, too, man.
Hey, much respect, man. Have you contributed to the Hidden Colors campaign?
Yes, I have. I'm actually about to contribute again tonight. You know, it's like Hidden Colors. It's like this. It's like paying a tithe in church, man.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed.
It's a religion, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir. What kind of business also, you got, man?
Go ahead. Say that again.
Well, you say you're an entrepreneur. What kind of business you got, fam?
Well, I'm in the security business.
Okay.
And it's out here in D.C., so, you know, it involves intelligence and all of that, so. And I actually work for a black CEO as well right now, too, so.
Okay.
You know, beautiful.
Okay, I heard the commercial of this. I heard the commercial of the CEO you work for. This is a commercial.
Living room, bedrooms, dinettes.
That's the person you do security for, I heard, right here.
At the market, we talking about flea market. Montgomery.
It's just like. All right, man. But Jimmy, man, thanks for the call, fam.
With us, hey, flea market, Montgomery.
Right. I had to get Jimmy. Let's see who else we got on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling up. I'm gonna take a couple of more calls. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Keisha from the Bay Area.
Hey, Keisha from the Bay, how you doing, fam?
Good. I just wanted to keep it brief and say I respect everything you do, Tyreek. I know you got a few crazies going on Facebook right now. But all I can say, proof is in the pudding of what you're doing out here. All that other stuff is irrelevant to me. And I just want to say, keep up the good work. And this conscious community crap just needs to be kind of, put on mute for a minute, because it's about action.
Absolutely.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Much respect.
Keep up the good work.
Yes, indeed. Now, what you see on Facebook, what they talking about on Facebook now?
Is the Zaza BS. I didn't even dig into it. I read a few things as far as the update. But what I noticed, I see, that particular group of the conscious community always got some drama kicked up.
They do.
That's why I said I felt compelled to tell you, keep doing what you're doing.
Much respect. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much.
All right, honey.
All right. You know, what this sister's talking about, I might do a Ustream show tonight to kind of go into that, because there's some more fuckery, some fraudulent fuckery going on with these so-called conscious people. This is why I so try to stay away from that bullshit and just get work done. But there's some stuff I just might address. I want to do a live Ustream show tonight just to have fun with the audience, because I haven't done a live Wednesday show in a minute. So you guys stay tuned. Later on tonight, we're going to do a live Ustream show. And you can check that out on TariqRadio.com. TariqRadio.com. So we're going to do a live Ustream show tonight, and I want y'all to tune in. And let me get up out of here now. But again, later on tonight, it's Wednesday. We're going to do a live Ustream show tonight. So go to TariqRadio.com so we can chop a game about that. Family, and that's been it. Don't forget to go to Kickstarter.com and contribute to Hidden Colors 4. And I will holler at you tonight on Ustream. Peace.